Hello and welcome to a special bonus episode of K-Botak, the podcast about Korean cinema and K-dramas. I'm John, and on this episode, we'll be taking some extra jumpsuits with us when we leave the house, with some first impressions on Money Heist Korea, Joint Economic Area. I wanted to talk about some first impressions of the Money Heist Korea Joint Economic Area series that just dropped on Netflix today. A full review will be coming once I've seen it all, but I thought it would be fun to do this impressions episode first. This is both a remake, a faithful one, as well as a continuation of the existing Netflix hit La Casa de Papel, or Money Heist, which has been coming out since 2017. It's a heist crime drama where a group of robbers go into the Royal Mint of Spain and hold out there with hostages while printing money. The series is known for its recognisable iconography. I think most people, even if they hadn't seen it, would recognise the red jumpsuits and the Dali masks. Also, its clever plotting and time-jumping structure. It has won a lot of awards and is a perennial favourite, often being an example of how streaming services have exposed more people to content in other languages, and is cited naturally alongside Korean content a lot of the time too, when that discussion is being had. And season 5 just came out last year. So Money Heist Korea follows a very similar plot, but it's supposed to be set in the same world, same fictional universe, and adopts an alternate history story, where suddenly, out of nowhere, as far as most ordinary people can figure out, North Korea and South Korea decide to pursue economic cooperation. They create a joint currency, and reunification seems to be on the cards. There are critical summits coming up at the time that this series is set, and their police chiefs are cooperating. At the same time, there's a lot of immigration from North Korea into South Korea, this time in this reality, rather, without the necessarily the same dangers that come when people try to do that now and enter South Korea. So in this version of the show, both Tokyo and Berlin, two of the main characters, are actually from the North. You've also got BTS, for example, doing a concert in Pyongyang. So there's a lot of really interesting stuff about how North Korea and South Korea are kind of engaging and interconnecting in the opening sequences of this version of the show. It does a lot of world building in that regard. I thought it was interesting how, instead of just adapting the story, hiring South Korean actors and setting it in, you know, Seoul or Busan, they decided to actually do this fun bank job story and wrap it up in a really fascinating geopolitical thought experiment. One of the things I'm most interested to watch as the episodes go on, I haven't finished this yet, how that informs the action, the story, the drama. Is it just a kind of geopolitical set dressing, or is there going to be some kind of a statement that comes out of this? There's a lot of little things as you go along, from remarks that people make about South Koreans or North Koreans, that sort of show how the two societies rub up alongside one another, positively and negatively, often negatively, and that's really interesting. But will this be coming out with some kind of a philosophy by the end? So interesting to see. We've got 6 episodes here, It joins other recent Korean TV series like One Ordinary Day and My Name. Manageable length crime dramas, you're not getting the full 16 to 20 episodes, with comparatively fast-paced plots. A particular kind of show and length of show that I'm really in the pocket for. Six or seven episodes of a mob opera or a crime drama or a heist thriller definitely has my name on it. It came out today, 24th of June 2022, in its entirety. So the visuals of this, it adapts the look of the original as well. Going back and comparing it to the opening episodes of the Spanish version, there are some ways in which this is more lavish. The Spanish version was not originally commissioned and created by Netflix. They basically bought up the rights to it and then continued the story, whereas this has the Netflix budget behind it from the get-go. So you'll recognise the red jumpsuits and the Dali masks. That's been a big part of the advertising. However, as mentioned, with this being set in this very near future joint economic area, that is where the joint security area used to be in this fictional world, you've got this mainly when you see it from above, CGI, slightly futuristic city that's like a big economic development, like an Iskandar that we have in Malaysia, not far from here, or like the new Binhai area in China. You also get quite a riot of colour early in episode one, very indulgent and fun visuals, lots of purples and different rich notes as they set up the character of Tokyo. And a lot of lens flare, even after that. In fact, J.J. Abrams levels of lens flare, with just rows of police cars getting flare after flare as people walk past them. So quite maximalist, quite indulgent with visuals, so it's fun to look at. So the cast, you've got Chun Jong-so as Tokyo. This is an actress known for Burning, the 2018 film that arguably should have won the Oscar the year before Parasite, which is an Lee Chang-dong film that starred Yu A-in alongside Chun Jong-so and Steven Yeun. Very, very good. She then went on to play the antagonist in the suspense slasher The Call, which you can see on Netflix. One of my favourite portrayals of a baddie in a horror or a thriller film in a long while. She's exceptional in that, and she won awards for it as well. She went on to be in Mona Lisa and the Blood Moon, which as far as I can work out is an English language movie that was filmed over in America with some quite famous actors in it. I've got no access to that over here on streaming or anything so far, but it looks really interesting. And then she went back to Korea to do a rom-com called Nothing Serious. I think she's probably one of the most promising acting talents out there at the moment, based on the two films I've seen with her in and what I've seen of this as well. She's very, very good. She is alongside Park Hae-soo as Berlin, a very reliable and very prolific actor in K-dramas, as well as kind of, I would say, B-tier movies. I don't think he's had a big moment in films. Apologies if there's something major I've missed out there, but he was in Squid Game. He was the secondary character and antagonist in that. He was in Time to Hunt as the baddie. He was hunting down the guys who were on the run in that. He was in Chimera last year, opposite Claudia Kim. And he was in a Netflix film this year called Yaksha, Ruthless Operations, which was okay. Then you've got Yoo Ji-tae as the professor, probably the most kind of veteran actor involved with this. He was obviously an old boy years ago. I covered that last week on the podcast. He was the antagonist in that, who was setting up Daesu for his revenge and ultimately his demise. He was in a famous Hong Sang-soo movie called Woman is the Future of Man, which I haven't seen yet, Hong Sang-soo being a big blind spot for me in Korean cinema. And then more recently, he was in Savaha, The Sixth Finger, which was, I thought, pretty good Lee Jung-jae horror movie in 2019 on Netflix. Story and pacing with this, it moves fast, as does the original, quickly introduces some of the characters, but not all of their backstory. So it sets up Tokyo, it sets up Berlin on the second episode, but it's basically getting straight into the heist, showing them enter the bank and start taking hostages. Then it gives details of the heist and how they're planning it via flashbacks. So in this way, you're constantly learning more about the depth of the plan and the characters. So if you go in, you're feeling like it's quite bare bones, it all gets filled in as the episodes unfold, which is really clever because it's wasting no time getting the characters in front of you and gradually then letting you know more about each. I think this is a good structure because it's maintaining the pace and excitement. It's showing the plot unfold while also eventually giving you deep backstories as well. So I'm greatly enjoying this so far. I'm looking forward to finishing it up and recording a full episode. But what about you? Have you seen the original La Casa de Papel? What were your expectations of this one? And how do the two series compare? Hit us up at kbotakpod on twitter.com. That's kbotakpod on Twitter. If you have enjoyed this podcast, there are lots of other episodes of K-Botak you can check out, including on films like Burning and The Call, starring Jong Jong-so, Chimera, Time to Hunt, Squid Game, Yaksha, starring Park Hae-soo, and last week's Old Boy, starring Yoo Ji-tae. You can follow the show on at KBotakPod on Twitter and Instagram. Retweets and shares are much appreciated, and best of all, if you like the show, please subscribe and leave a review. Thanks for listening. And until next time, just listen to the professor. If I stay with